variety, culture, and class in America. Live from Long Island's Gold Coast, this is the Melissa Itell Duran Show on Breaking It Down Radio with co-host Frank McKay.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the Melissa Itell Duran Show. Frank McKay here with the wife, the mother, the dancer, the educator, the novelist, the author of several books, and the subject of two documentaries. If you go to melissaitelduran.com, you can watch those two documentaries. And she's also available on over 100 outlets, radio and podcast outlets, and you're listening to one of them here, and you're welcome to stay here. But if you choose to, you could find us on many, many different spots. Frank McKay here. So much more importantly, Melissa Itell Duran, how are you?
I'm doing great, Frank. How are you?
Doing well. And our friend Governor Cuomo may not be doing as well as us, and I haven't seen him in this kind of hot water before. And the thing is that even CNN, and they're soft pedaling some of it, but even CNN, his brother's network, is covering this and covering what's happened with the nursing homes. Your take on all of this?
Well, I think it's about time. It's what a lot of people have suspected and what has been floating around now recently, that not so savory things were going on in the Cuomo administration surrounding this decision to house COVID patients within the confines of nursing homes, thereby putting nursing home residents, usually very elderly people and very sick people, at the outset, at extreme risk. And families of these people were not even allowed to see their loved ones and only learned of their death second or third hand. And the backhandedness and the arrogance of Governor Cuomo in regard to this has been appalling to many, with the exception of his Democratic cronies. And I'll mention our president, who was recently applauding Governor Cuomo as the gold standard for political correctness in COVID treatment and COVID safety standards, if you will. And now the truth is starting to come out, and I'm just going to say it's interesting.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And you know, maybe a different word is intrigue, and it became more intriguing when Melissa DeRosa, who I know very well, and she's the right hand to the governor, and I'll also say that Melissa would never do anything without the governor knowing it, and I know that firsthand, and I've worked with her closely on things, and you know, one of the things is she said, and correct me if I'm wrong, she admitted to hiding the bad news, the terrible information, the data, because they were concerned about a Trump led investigation from the federal government. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know. You know Melissa pretty well, so you can skip ouch for her, her legitimacy. Also, I just want to make a side note. Melissa DeRosa is connected to the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District.
Yeah.
The acting U.S. Attorney.
Yes.
You know how?
It's a mother, right?
Mother-in-law,
right?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Interesting. Yes.
Yeah. So, listen, Melissa, I'm telling you what I'm vouching for. At this point, and I like Melissa, and I've always, had a decent relationship with the governor. But what I'm vouching for is that Melissa would never do anything without the governor knowing. So, what does that, what does that say? I mean, if she hit it, I don't think that she could say, well, I knew this and the governor didn't know this. No, of course the governor knew. She wouldn't do anything without the governor knowing, right? Has she admitted that the governor knew?
I don't think she's come out and said exactly. I mean, you have to stand by your man.
Yeah.
this is so reminiscent. I think you showed me a link online to the Daily Mail. They were comparing this to
Watergate.
Nixonian.
Yeah,
something Nixonian. So this could really open up a big can of worms. I mean, this and a lot of people are just licking their chops. All the people who were Cuomo haters, who've criticized Governor Cuomo, who want to know why in the world is he getting an Emmy, and where did he get the time to write a book, of all things? I'm waiting for Phil Murphy's book. I told you, Knucklehead is coming out.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, it's they have time for Emmys, and they have time for books, and they have all of these things. But now this kind of catches off. Let me send something that I sent to a couple of people. Right. Let me just read this if I could. Right. And again, if you're in front of a computer, guys, and you could listen to us at the same time, go to MelissaIteljoran.com and check out the documentaries while you're listening. Anyway, I know I originally brushed this off and how serious it was. This is me saying this, right? Because I didn't brush off how serious it was. I just didn't think that Governor Cuomo would get called on it, because he's gotten a pass on a lot of things, Melissa, let's face it. All right? But here's the difference now. His enemies from the left have big-time contacts, press and otherwise. The right wing has a built-in agenda, and they've always been there. And people in the middle that were natural allies, or that may have been natural allies of him, and when I say the middle of the Democratic Party, they may have been stepped on over the last 14 years while he was governor. And he's very heavy-handed, as you could ask. Well, at least I should say that you could make an argument that he's very heavy-handed. And you could ask Assemblyman Kim if he thinks that he's heavy-handed, and just listen to those conversations. Also, Vice President Harris has an agenda here, right? Uh-huh. I believe her and others that want to run in 4 years for either president or vice president would want Andrew Cuomo out of the picture, right?
Oh, tie
this into the fact that the media collectively has a Trump hangover, meaning he's become significantly less relevant since he's left office and since President Biden's taken over. And the ratings, all of these people are ratings starved since President Biden got there. Not to mention the true merits of this case, of this scandal. I mean, there's real merits. I mean, there's people that have passed away because of decision. And somebody wrote back to me, a big-time Democrat, said Cuomo was fighting for his life. So, anyway, your thoughts on all of that?
Well, of course, he's not going to show that, you know. And he's very defiant, and he's embattled. I mean, he's not going to give up. He's never come full face to say, I'm sorry, or he just said, you know, this one died. My father went here. He gave examples of people, different situations. You know, the bottom line is, people died. What are you going to do? What?
Yeah. Hillary.
He's from the Hillary Clinton school of, what do you want me to say?
Yeah. What can I say? Yeah, people die. People die every day. I didn't do all that. Yeah, well, but here's the difference, is I really thought this would get swept under the rug. And maybe it still will, but I don't know. Kamala Harris, you know, does she want Andrew Cuomo hanging around for 4 years? Is she going to give him a pass?
But do you have proof that she is working behind the scenes to see him, you know, to stick, you know, voodoo pins into his into a doll figure of him?
Yeah, well, I don't have proof. I'm just saying that human nature would say, you know, why would she want to save this guy? Now, if it was all BS and it was all nonsense and they were just picking on somebody, then, you know, maybe they would save him. Maybe, you know, his buddy President Biden would save him. But I don't, you know, it's not nonsense. People have died. What's the number? How many people have died because of these decisions? Do you know?
I don't have it offhand, but it is significant. It's
four digits, right? I mean, there's.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's this is a serious thing, and this is somebody who really has benefited. And again, I'm trying to be down the middle. I'm just saying, from a real political standpoint, there are reasons to believe that he will not get a pass on this. And if he doesn't get a pass, all kinds of things are going to go. You and I, right before we went on, I mentioned Ted Cruz, and you mentioned Ted Cruz. And yes, Texas is one of the things that's saving Andrew Cuomo from being the number one story in the country right now, because Texas is an alternative to what's going on, and they're questioning, you know, all types of things. I have a good friend in San Antonio, and she's 87 years old, and she, you know, was in real jeopardy. I was worried. She was out of electricity and water and everything else, and her trainer rescued her. Fortunately, a wonderful lady, and her trainer and her husband came by and got her out of there, and you know, she was in a house that was freezing, and she lived alone, and also it was a very scary thing. But the Texas situation is the one thing that makes Andrew Cuomo's nursing home situation and him yelling at Assemblyman Kim not the front story and the top story everywhere. Instead, they're attacking Ted Cruz, who, by the way, used very poor judgment. Let's face it, right? He used very poor judgment in leaving.
I was a little disappointed in that. I mean, you know, Ted Cruz has an image problem right now coming off the, you know, the January 6th, you know, storming of the Capitol, his insistence at backing the former President Trump's, you know, voter steal and you know, mounting a campaign to stop the certification from going ahead. And he's been a vehement supporter of former President Trump, despite the fact that the two were bitter enemies during the 2016 primaries. And people have called him a lapdog, among other things, you know. And what's he doing it for? Is he, you know, is he buying a bargain with the devil so he can win? He can go to the White House in 2024. I mean, it's all very possible. And then here he is, you know, saying, you know, I'm doing what a good dad would do. I took my daughters to Cancun, Mexico. I don't know. When I was in school, that wasn't my trip, okay? They weren't saying, I didn't say, okay, you know what? I've got a week off. It's really bad weather. We've got a blizzard. Can I go to Cancun, Mexico? Can you take me? You know, nobody. And people would just tell me, just, you know, what Kool-Aid are you drinking?
Right.
That would never have happened when I, you know, so I find it a little hard to believe. You know, you want to take your kids away from the freezing cold, the lack of, okay, fine. Is there somewhere else you can go? It must have been Cancun, Mexico. Oh, we just decided, like any good father, I would just take them to the house. Well, I don't know if everybody was able or thinking about that. You know, this is really bad optics. Who is advising him? And maybe he just is thumbing his nose at the public like, you know what? You handle that. I'm going elsewhere. I'm out of town.
Yeah, the U.S. senator, if I'm him, there's no way I'm leaving at that particular time. There's just no way. I mean, you're there. You know, I'm here to lead. I'm here to be here in case I'm, you know. And by the way, he was going to get, he was going to have generators, and he was going to have the best of everything. He wasn't going to starve. The kids weren't going to be drinking snow water, which a lot of people are, right?
I know. I hate to laugh at it, but really, come on. He was not, they weren't going to be freezing to death. Let's face it.
Yeah, terrible, just terrible optics. Yeah, you used the term.
It is. It's inexcusable, unconscionable behavior, and he should know better. I'm sure he does, but he just doesn't care. It's like, well, I'm a good father. I can do all this, and I'm coming back. Yeah, but the rest of everyone in Texas isn't able to go to Cancun, Mexico. Bring the take the kids to Cancun. Take them to Disney World. Some people are really toughing it out.
You know what would have been terrible is if they caught pictures of Cruz and his family coming off, and they all had sombreros on, and they had margaritas in their hands,
right.
and banners and mouse ears, you know, for Mexican Cancun Disneyland.
I know, right?
Oh my God!
I know. They already have images of him competing with the one of Bernie Sanders from the inauguration. I have a picture of Cruz lugging his luggage. But you know, if they had caught him, you know, with the margarita, right?
Oh my God!
And then they would have put him together with the Chris Christie beach photo.
Oh no!
Right?
Terrible.
Am I right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you mentioned the Bernie Sanders photos. It's the mittens, right? They had the big mittens, and they put him next to everything imaginable and everyone imaginable. It's funny. Yeah. It became the hot meme.
Of the year.
Yeah, but no doubt.
Of the year.
Bernie Sanders sitting there with his big mittens and everything else. And
Parker or whatever his his, it looked like a coach you would wear to go to the supermarket, not to the inauguration.
Yeah, unbelievable, unbelievable. Yeah. Frank McKay here, urging everyone to go to MelissaEiteltJuran.com. Ted Cruz has almost single-handedly kept Andrew Cuomo from being the top story in the country. And it's the media that's doing it. Let's face it. I mean, thousands and thousands of people didn't die because Ted Cruz and his family went to a water park in Cancun, you know. Terrible optics, terrible idea, but the nursing home scandal is far worse than the Ted Cruz situation by all means. Correct or incorrect?
Yeah, I mean, this is big stuff. This is really big stuff.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, what do you think the outcome of the Cuomo situation is? You know, obviously the Republicans in the Assembly don't have enough votes on their own. They have hardly anything to impeach Andrew Cuomo. They're trying to, but I mean, this is showmanship, and these are things that you do politically to bring in, and again, they're punishing him. They're punishing him for doing this. The other thing is that Andrew Cuomo's brother, Chris Cuomo, $6 million a year, the $6 million man, he has been told by CNN, it's amazing to me that it's taken this long to do this, but he's been told by CNN that he cannot cover his brother anymore and that he's restricted from covering his brother.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
I think it's more than the conflict of interest.
Yeah, what the hell is that? Yeah, I mean, he used to have his brother on and pump up his brother. And, you know, I mean, I could see on some lighthearted, fun evening, you know, maybe New Year's Eve, my brother's going to stop by and say hello, you know, something like that. But, I mean, you're covering your brother? Let me tell you, if I was covering my brother, I'm telling you right now, if I was covering my brother and he had a big scandal, I'd be talking about the Yankees. I'd be talking about something else with him. I'm not I'm not burying my brother, you know, I'm not, you know, killing my brother over anything. And, you know, I used to say it with 2000, you know, the election in 2000. Yeah, I mean, Jeb Bush and, you know, did whatever he could to help his brother. Yeah, if my brother's presidency was on the line and I was the governor of Florida, that was going to decide, you know, hey, I'm going to do whatever I can to help my, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to do whatever I can to help my brother out or my best friend or what, my wife or whatever it is. You know, you can't. How do they have Chris Cuomo covering Andrew Cuomo in the first place? I mean, terrible. You talk about optics. I mean, that's journalism.
It's not, well, what kind of journalism is CNN?
Yeah, true.
Anyway, really. I remember I recall reading somewhere that, you know, Rudy Giuliani, or, you know, he's been married a number of times, and his, I think it was, I don't know, but the mother of his children, Donna Hanover, who
yes.
is also an actress, was a
TV host, right? She had a cooking show
right.
also.
Yes, and she was a news anchor, and I read that while he was running for his first time for mayor, that was back in the 90s, early 90s, the election that he won, because I think he ran twice.
Yeah, he lost Dinkins, and then he beat Dinkins right. the second time.
Right, right. So I think it was that time. She was the anchor of the local New York station, and she was, I don't know if this was her policy or this was an agreement between her and the station. She did not cover any stories regarding her husband. She didn't step down from her job. She just did not do anything that had to do with him. Now, that's the proper thing to do. Why is it that Chris Cuomo just can't keep his mouth shut whenever it comes to stories about his brother? Why can't there be the same, you know, the same level of integrity?
Yeah, I mean, it's outrageous if you think about it. It's just outrageous. And CNN, I mean, how do they even, with a straight face? Yeah. Yeah.
How does the head of CNN go to sleep every night? Well, he has no conscience anyway, so what the hell? Doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, you know, listen, let's face it. I mean, journalism has gone out the window. And it was before this, but when when you come down to it, as soon as Trump got elected, journalism, you may as well have just thrown it out the window because it was all about getting Trump. And I'm not defending the former president Trump. He brought a lot of this on himself, but there was no journalism left anymore. I remember when he first took office in 2017, you know, after the 2016 election, there was a panel of journalists on, and it was all female journalists, and they were just talking about how he could be impeached right away because of what happened with the Ukraine, you know, with the Ukraine and everything else. And they all just sitting there ripping and talking about, and it said under them, journalists from the Washington Times, journalists from New York Times. I was like, journalist? Where in journalism school does it say, that you should talk about getting rid of the president? I don't care who he is or what he's done, but how do you take that opinion as a journalist? By the way, you and I are commentators, right? You and I are commentators. We're not saying right. We're journalists no. or whatever, and we no. call it right down the middle much better than any of these people
exactly.
do.
Well, we try to, and I think we give it a very fair appraisal, if I may say so. Because we're not bound to some pseudo-political mentality. And the other thing is that, going back to Trump, their modus operandi during the Trump years was Trump. Let's go after Trump. I mean, it did help ratings, and it did cause a lot of excitement. And now who are they going after? You know, Trump is kind of staying in the, you know, on the sidelines. He's making a few appearances, not too many, but he's lying low. So, the question is, what is their mission now? What is their goal now? They don't have him. They can't really bash him. He was providing them a lot of opportunities.
You don't have Donald Trump to kick around anymore, as Richard Nixon once said. You know, it's true. You know, who are they concentrating on? And ratings are dropping. I haven't looked at, I don't have the right in front of me at my fingertips, but ratings have dropped significantly since Trump has left. I mean, the rioting and all of that kept ratings up a little bit or whatever. But right now, I mean, let's face it. Sleepy Joe was right. And a lot of people might turn around and say, hey, I could use Sleepy Joe. I don't want my president being in the front lines every single day and hearing about his nonsense and tweeting and everything else. So I can deal with Sleepy Joe. But Sleepy Joe is right. I mean, Biden, he is the quietest president. He's the, I don't want to say the dullest president, but let's face it. I mean, he's not exciting whatsoever, and you have really nothing to talk about at this point. And quite frankly, if you have nothing to talk about and you're a quote unquote journalistic organization or you're a news organization, you have a lot of trouble. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell-Jurin, and you could binge listen to everything we've been doing, and you could right here on whatever outlet you are listening to is fine, but if not, radio.com, iHeartRadio.com, and radio.net, and about 100 other places. Frank McKay here with Melissa Itell-Jurin. Melissa, your thoughts on that? I mean, what are they covering if they don't have Trump to cover? And is that a reason why Andrew Cuomo should be worried? Because he has given us and media outlets all over the place things to talk about, and serious things to talk about. Is there anything that could get this off the front covers?
Well, he should be worried, because I think now things are starting to come out in the open. You know, before there was this whole, you know, governor fest or whatever they call it, and, you know, they were celebrating him as the second coming of I don't know what. And now that we don't have Trump front and center, and things are coming out about Andrew Cuomo and these secretive meetings put a spin on what exactly can be disseminated to the public about the COVID crisis and the nursing home situation, and of course the governor's latest words the last time he addressed the situation, where he's practically said, you know, what difference does it make? People died.
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's got things to be worried about. The question is, what will happen to him? What will be the consequences? Will he just get by because he's a Democrat and he's on the right side of the ledger and he's the brother of, you know, Chris Cuomo, and let's face it, you know, CNN is his network. Basically, they're the network of the Cuomos. Will there be some Republicans and Democrats? Because as we see, there's a Democrat, a top Democrat in the New York State Assembly, who, you know, who sparred with him, and he was threatened by the governor. He could wrestle some support among the Democrats in the state. I mean, that's not good. I don't think this is the way to go forward, especially if Cuomo is looking for a fourth term?
Yeah.
Before,
yep.
You know, in the meantime, you know, because I'm sure like Gavin Newsom, he's eyeing, you know, 2024. And don't forget, Gavin Newsom is next. He's next. He's going to be put under the radar because people are saying things about what's going on in California.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I mean, and let them all take their medicine. One of the things that President Trump did is he took all of the slings and all of the arrows from everyone else out there, and it didn't allow his opponents or his adversaries to get it. I said this when he was in the middle of a debate with Joe Biden. Joe Biden had a lot of questions on him and a lot of things to worry about and whether he's going to perform or whatever. And Trump jumped in and he just dominated the whole first half. I said to you the next time we spoke that he saved him, that Trump saved him. Now you don't have Trump as the lightning rod here. And yes, Gavin Newsom is on his way under the microscope. And right now, Andrew Cuomo is under the microscope.
So this will be interesting times. I'd like to see the governor take into account, taken to task for his actions. You know, the meteorologist Janice Dean from Fox News.
Yep.
She has a bone to. She's got an axe to grind with the governor. She lost her in-laws, I believe, in just the same kind of nursing home predicament. In a COVID-ridden nursing home, and she wants to bring him to task, and she would love to see him impeached, thrown out. I wonder if will the party have the guts to do that? Will the party, you know, stand by him and just say, oh, well, you know, things happened.
Well, Ron Kim, listen, let's see what's going to happen. It's the worst thing in the world that Andrew Cuomo could have done, because you need a certain amount. I don't even know what the laws are. I should on impeachment. I wasn't taking it seriously. But if all the Republicans vote, it's 76 votes is what you need to impeach. He could be in trouble, because Ron Kim, this assemblyman, is a very popular man. And he's popular amongst his Democrats, and Cuomo has stepped on a lot of toes. I don't know. I'm not sure that that Ron Kim isn't going to be able to pull 20 something votes. Is it a simple majority? I mean, if it's a simple majority, he's in trouble, because there's 150 New York Assembly people, and the Republicans have, what do they have, 54 or 50, you know, something along those lines. And so that means they just need another 20 or, you know, whatever it is, to have a simple majority. Now, if it's three quarters, it's a little different. But, I would have to believe it's more than a simple majority. But they can cause them some agita, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm waiting with bated breath to find out what happens to the fate of Andrew Cuomo, and whether or not we can safely say that his presidential ambitions are dead and gone, you know?
Yeah, certainly damaged, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, let me say one thing, Melissa, and it's worth mentioning here. And one of the big names in radio, one of the people who has shaped right-wing talk radio, conservative talk radio, has passed away. And I said... Yeah. I said this, and I don't mean to be dark, but Andrew Cuomo caught a break when Rush Limbaugh, legendary radio talk show host, Rush Limbaugh, and again, no apologies about it, coming from the right at all times. Rush Limbaugh passed away, and we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that. And you talk about an incredible career in broadcasting and radio, and certainly conservative talk radio. And the reason I say that Andrew, and I'm not being disrespectful to Rush at all. I mean, I've got a great deal of respect for what he's done. Of course, I mean, he did it as well as anybody else did ever. And I'm talking about right-wing conservative talk radio. But by him passing away, he had millions and millions of people listening to him every day and listening to him with every word he said. My grandmother, who passed away at 94, 95, back in 2010, she was one of them. Anything that Rush Limbaugh said, she paid attention to and she would respond to. And Rush Limbaugh had millions and millions and millions of people. The only one that rivals him is Sean Hannity. And when he passed away, that meant those listeners, not that they're going to go away, but they're going to have to scatter to find different digs or different people to listen to. But your thoughts on Rush Limbaugh and what it means to conservative talk radio?
Yes, we were remiss in mentioning the passing of Rush Limbaugh the other day, who started out locally in New York City at WABC, and the show expanded nationwide, worldwide, and into the EIB Network, Excellence in Broadcasting Network, which was the Rush Network.
Yep.
And he moved his headquarters down to Florida. I think he did that in response to taxes. He felt it was a tax haven there. And he earned his place, his mantle in broadcasting history as the voice of conservative talk radio. He did appeal to, I would say, a more Midwestern sensibility. When he did have a TV show for a while, I believe it was on Fox, not the table, but the
network.
Right. And he was a very staunch conservative. He had his list of detractors. He was not well liked by everyone. There were unfortunately many people who said, I couldn't wish for a better thing than to see Rush drop dead. I mean, it comes with the territory. I mean, let's face it, he was a defender of President Trump until the very end. But he was also plagued by many health problems, some of which were caused by his reliance on oxycodone and other prescription drugs, which led to multiple health problems, including hearing loss, an ear operation, and then the lung cancer, which ultimately took his life. But he was a staunch conservative, and his trek through life is actually quite admirable, because he started out with one job loss after another, landed his position behind the mic and built himself up into this monolithic figure who, you know, like him or hate him, made a big impact on American political thought throughout the country. And I wouldn't say he was an East Coast favorite, because I think he appealed to people who were, you know, bedrock conservatives across the country. But he was he tried to approach this, I think, with honesty, with his view of what things really were, whether you agreed with him or not. He was a success story, and he, of course, that was not without controversy. And I don't know what will happen now with his network empire. I don't know. I haven't heard what the plans are to succeed him, but. I don't know, but I'm not sure. You really think that he is detracting from this? He's giving the governor a break.
Well, with him passing away, yeah. I think that he would have had millions of people every day listening to his every word, and he would have been pounding away at Andrew Cuomo nonstop. Now, he is the one who coined the phrase Fredo. I believe he was the one who came up with Fredo as comparing Chris Cuomo to Chris Cuomo, to the dumb brother in The Godfather. I think it was Rush Limbaugh, right? That was who came up with Fredo.
Yeah, right. But I don't think this is going to last forever. I mean, you know, every couple of days we're hearing about the passing of another notable person. It seems these things are coming in threes, and they come very rapidly. I don't think this is the, you know, he's got Hannity on the back of Cuomo. He's got other conservatives.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. Oh, let me just clarify. I mean, this isn't those same Rush Limbaugh. Listeners, and some of them, I know certainly some people who listen to us here certainly listen to Rush Limbaugh. Not that we're conservative talk by any means, but you know, I have friends that listen to our show every week, and they loved Rush Limbaugh. But they'll find somebody else to listen to. They also listen to Sean Hannity every day, and they show, you know, it's just that time slot, whatever it was it noon to two, or you know, maybe it was two, who knows what it was, but Rush Limbaugh had millions and millions of people glued to the radio or to the computer every single day to listen to what he had to say. Yeah, no, it's just he had a directed voice, and he certainly had it in for the Cuomos. And again, if he came up with Fredo, he came up with the term Fredo. Trust me, he was zoned in on the on the Cuomos. But very funny, actually, if the fact that he came up with it, and that is a nickname that that Chris Cuomo detests. And he lost his cool over, and it stuck. He gave him Fredo, and it did. That was Rush Limbaugh, I'm sure, right?
I think he did. Yes, he did. But you know, I think with time, you'll see that the passing won't. It shouldn't take the edge off this investigation.
No. Definitely not. Yeah, I mean, those same listeners are still listening to Sean Hannity and everybody else. It's just that they're not concentrated every day at 12 noon Eastern time or whatever time it is. It was just millions and millions and millions of people tuned in to listen to a man. I meant it more as a tribute to Rush Limbaugh, who, listen, like him or hate him, love him or hate him, we lost a giant in broadcasting. And you know, the fact that he was right-wing conservative talk radio, that made people love him and hate him at the same time. But rest in peace, Rush Limbaugh. Yeah, one last thought on all of this. No, you're absolutely right. This is not going away, and it's not going away because Rush Limbaugh passed away. Newsday, which is our local newspaper, and it's become less relevant. It's print media and so forth. But Newsday has been a very, very liberal standpoint, has a very liberal standpoint, and they have given Governor Cuomo every pass that you could possibly get. If you open up page two, you open up the front cover and look at page two of Newsday, you will see the scandal all over there. I haven't seen it, just people are sending me saying, wow, look what Newsday is doing. So this scandal isn't going away anytime soon. And I don't know that he's handling it well. And let's see what happens. The question is, he unraveling? That's the big question. And, you know, it's not a bad place to close. Is Governor Cuomo unraveling from this scandal? Your thoughts, Melissa?
He wants to be. He wants to show that, you know, he's the Teflon mayor. I mean, sorry, governor.
Yep. And he wants to. Yeah, right. He wants it to go away. But will he unravel mentally, emotionally? The conversation with Assemblyman Ron Kim, is not a good look for a governor. It's bullying, and it's coming from a guy who is supposed to be fair and statesmanlike, saying, "I will destroy you," to, you know, an Asian American Democratic Assemblyman. I don't know that that's a great look, Melissa.
No, I know. It isn't. To be a threatening bully, to, you know, to show people, well, I'm Governor Cuomo, and I don't take, you know, it's one thing to talk to people and say, I'm going to stand up to what you're saying, but to stoop to the lowest common denominator when you're in that position of authority, that's not going to really help to your already damaged optics. And I think Ted Cruz could probably learn a lesson or two about that as well.
Yeah. Two big-time guys, a real major faux pas, and it's like, what are they thinking? The difference is that thousands and thousands of people didn't die because of what Ted Cruz did. Bad optics, that's for sure, and terrible. Yeah. But the decisions that Andrew Cuomo made caused a lot of people, a lot of elderly people, to lose their lives because they were mixed in with COVID patients.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and the thought that person does not have any conscience and doesn't seem to care, and feels that he's just above the fray is just so. It's unpalpable, and it's unnecessary, and it's not an example. It's a poor example of leadership. And you wonder, do these people listen to anyone at all? Probably not. You know, I don't think Ted Cruz listens to anyone. Is he tone deaf? I think he might be, and I think the governor is just too full of himself to listen to anyone.
Yeah, I'm with you. 100%. Melissa, as always, you and I share the thought of thanking everyone for listening each and every week. And we know they have a lot of choices. But final thoughts to our listeners.
Well, stay tuned for more of the same. This Governor Cuomo saga is not going away. And it would be really nice to see justice be dealt with here, accountability accordingly, and the same with Ted Cruz. I don't think he's going to change. He can't. I think people that are just tone deaf to everything around them. They're so far removed from the everyday turmoil and the tribulations of being just an everyday person that I think they just can't see it. They have tunnel vision, and in the case of Governor Cuomo, it's ego that's driving him, and he just can't. He thinks he's acting like he is a dictator, like he was born into this position. This is his. This was handed out to him. This was inherited by him. And I don't know if you may have heard of this. This is something that Bob Grant and now Curtis Sliwa have been saying. There's this. Legacy that coming from the father, from the late Mario Cuomo, the former governor of New York, King Cuomo the first, and his son Andrew King Cuomo the second.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds much better when they say, because they use the Italian, and it's a very derogatory statement, but it's funny especially when Bob Grant said it. So it's on, you can hear it. It's probably on YouTube somewhere where he had an ongoing feud with Mario Cuomo. And if you apply it to the Cuomo son, it's just as funny.
Yeah, it's terrific. Listen, stay tuned, as Melissa said. Melissa, thank you, and everyone else out there. Thank you very much. Stay tuned is right, and this is not going away anytime soon. And for those in the media that are missing President Trump, well, you got something new to talk about here, and you got and if you throw your party registration out the window, and you want to go after a public official who you think is overreached, well, here you go. He might be a Democrat, but if you're going to do the right thing, you're going to treat this the same way you would treat it if it was a Republican. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on the Melissa Itell Jurin Show.
You've been listening to Melissa Itell Jurin and co-host Frank McKay on Breaking It Down Radio.